Today's daf is Chulin daf Pei Beis. We are holding on daf Pei Aleph of Beis. We're a few lines from the bottom of the page, about three lines from the bottom of the page. So we're in sugya discussing whether shchita she'en ruya is shma shchita or shchita she'en ruya is lav shma shchita. And this comes up in the Mishnah on Pei Aleph of Beis, when the Mishnah discusses whether shechting certain animals that anyway you're not going to be able to eat is still going to be included in the halacha of osa vespino. So the Mishnah had said that if you shecht an animal, it turns out to be a treifa, or you shecht an animal for avodah zarah, you shecht para aduma, or a sharaniskal, or negla arufa. So Rabbi Shimon says you pata from osa vespino because all of those things are shechita shein ruya. You're not going to be able to eat the basar of the animal anyway, so it's not included in osa vespino. And the Chum say you are chayiv in osa vespino. So we are three lines from the bottom. The Gemara starts questioning some of the examples given in the Mishnah. So frankly, the Gemara, is that true that a paras chatas, that a para aduma is considered shchita she'en ruya and therefore subject to the machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim? Va'atanya, Rabbi Shimon omer, para mitama tumas ochlin, hol v'haisala shas hakosher. Rabbi Shimon holds that a para, that the para aduma is mitama tumas ochlin, that it's considered to be an ochel and it's able to be mekabel tuma, like food is able to be mekabel tuma, because it has a shas hakosher. There is some time that you're allowed to eat the para if you wanted to eat it. And if you didn't want to go through with the entire para aduma procedure, there was some time where you could have eaten it. V'am Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Omer Hay Rabbi Shimon, Para Niftis Al Gabe Marachta, that when can you change what you're using the para for and instead decide to eat it, even when it's Al Gabe the Maracha, before you burn it, when it's on the pile of wood upon which it's going to be burnt, and you come up with a better para aduma, as Rashi says on the top, Imatsana Himena, you find a nicer one than the one that you're using, even if it's on Al Gabe Marachta, even if it's already shechted properly, still you're allowed to go ahead and switch it, be poda it. So Rabbi Shimon holds, since it's omid lifto, since it's something that could be nifte, so it's kepadu dami, so it's something that's it's considered as if it's already niftes, and therefore it's roi lachila. So frek the Gemara of the quest, so there's one long question. How could you say a paras chatas is shechita she'en ru'uya, but we know that a paras chatas can still be changed and used for achila, so all you have to do is be poda it. So how could you call that shechita she'en ru'uya? Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Shon Bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan, Paras Chatas in the Mishnah. Enochanami, you got to take Paras Chatas, the example of Paras Chatas out of our Mishnah. That would not be subject to the Machlokas Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Everyone would agree that that's called Shechita Ruya, and therefore everyone would agree that Paras Chatas is included in the halacha of also the Espino. Now this idea of that a para is metame tumas ochlin, which means that if the basar of the para touches something that's tame, So it can become tame, it can be chazer metame, other food that it touches it. Even though the rule is, according to Rabbi Shimon, that something is not called ochel legabe tuma unless it's mutar la'achilo legoi, and basar para is asar ba'na'a. But the point is that since there's a time that it could have been eaten, that you would have been able to be machshir la'achila by being poda it, so that's enough to label it as achila. So Rashi over here on Pei Beis Amud Aleph in the first skinny line asks a fundamental kasha. Rashi asks, why is it that you need the basar to have toras ochel in order to be mekabel tuma? The basar of the para aduma should be mekabel tuma anyway, because there's a klal that called davar shasofo letame tuma chamura metame tumas ochlin, that anything that will one day be metame tuma chamura, be metame a more severe tuma, is metame tumas ochlin, even without going through the normal process of being mekabel tumas ochlin. And the para, the basar of the para, is sofo letame tuma chamura, because the din is that kola os everyone who's involved in the paraduma from shchita and on becomes tameh. So it's sofal tameh tuma chamura. So if that's the case, it shouldn't need any of the normal qualifications for tumas ochlin. It should be tameh automatically. So Rashi answers that the basar hapara itself in achinami does become tameh because it's sofal tameh tuma chamura. So in achinami, it is tameh in its own right since it's sofal tameh tuma chamura. However, there is one situation where you need the basar to have a shem ochel in order to be metame something. And that situation is, if the basar is mechufa, if it's covered with some type of dough, and the dough itself doesn't have a shir kebetza, the basar itself doesn't have a shir kebetza, but the two of them together have a shir kebetza. So in order to be mekabel tuma, to be metame other things, it needs a shir kebetza. So that's what Rabbi Shimon is telling me, that the basar is considered ochel to be mitstarif with other ochel, the other ochel that's not sofa l'tamei tuma chamura, but to be mitzarif with other ochel to create a shir kebetza in that, and therefore to put in effect the din of tumas ochlin. Now, exactly what the shir kebetza does in the world of tumas ochlin, we've discussed several times, is a machlokas rishonim. Rashi over here, and Rashi later on, Dav Kuv Chav Ches, assumes that if it's less than a kebetza, can't even become tamei, that you need a kebetza in order to become tamei. But Rashi in Pesachim, Dav Lam Gimel Mbeis, writes that ochel pachas mi kebetza, even if it's less than a kebetza, it's mekabel tuma, the shir kebetza is only to transmit tuma to something else. But either way, whichever way you want to hold in terms of that issue, the bottom line is there is some nafkamina for the idea that the basar is metame tuma sochlin. Very similar to what the Gemara says in Meseches Krisos. The Gemara Meseches Krisos of Chafal discusses the inyan of nevela. The Gemara says that nevelas of tar is not metame tuma sochlin unless you're a unless you decide you want to go feed it to a guy, and then it will have a shame ochel. So the Gemara over there says, what do you mean? Even without tumas ochlim, it's metami tumas nevela, so it has a more severe tuma. So the Gemara answers, same exact answer, that we're talking, this is where Rashi got the idea. The Gemara answers that we're talking about a case of basar nevela that's surrounded with dough, that's pachos mi kebetza, and that then the basar and the dough combine to equal the shir kebetza. Good, so that's Rashi's answer of why it is that the basar para even needs to be metame tumas ochlin, if anyway it has a tuma chamura. Other Rishonim give other terutzim. Tosos in Dibra Maskapara, and Tosos also appears in Baba Kama. So Tosos writes, and other Rishonim also, that even though it's Sofa L'tami Tumah Chamura, it would not be Metami Tumas Ochun Umashkin. He says that the fact that it's Sofa L'tami Tumah Chamura only helps to say that it shouldn't require hechsher mayim, it shouldn't require hechsher lekabel tuma. But in regards to something that's not a food, it doesn't help that it's sofa l'tami tuma chamura to make it an ochel, and therefore paraduma, which is not roi la'achil la'acherim, is not considered an ochel b'chlal. The sofa l'tami tuma chamura doesn't create the status of ochel. It gives tuma even if the tuma is not there yet in terms of tumas ochlin, but it doesn't create the status of ochel. And then Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, Tosos in Baba Kama quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, that anything that's sofa l'tami tuma chamura is metami tuma sochlim, even if itself is not a food. Why does Rabbi Shimon need the idea of shayil ha'shasa kosher? Because tumas para is eina elul mis'askimba. Tumas para is unique in that it's only for those who are osek in it. So the stipler explains in Tara Simon and Beis, what Tosos means is, what Rabbeinu Tam means is that the gedder of tumas para is not like normal tuma, that the item is tame and therefore the tuma gets transferred on to me when I'm osek in the item. The gedder of the tumas para is that the hisaskus in the para, the action of being osek in the para, creates a tumma. It's not that I'm becoming tameh from the para, it's that I'm becoming tameh from my action of being involved with the para. When we say something that has tumma chamura, that's already tameh tumas ochlin, that's talking about when inherently it has tumma chamura, like tumas nevela. Nevela has a very severe level of tumma. But the para, the basar para, it's not that the basar para itself has tumma chamura, it's that when someone is involved with the para, he becomes tame. It's the action that's metame. It's as a mashal, it's like when a zav, a person becomes a zav. Why does he become an avatuma? It's not because he touched the stuff that came out of his body and therefore that made him tame. No, it has nothing to do with getting the tumah from the ziva. It's the fact that ziva came out of his body. That action of excreting ziva makes him tamei. So here also, when it comes to the parah adumah, it's not the basar parah that's metamei the person. It's the action of being osek in the parah. That's how the stipler wants to suggest in Kilus Yaakov on taharos. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now the Gemara still challenges the next example that the Mishnah gave. So we said the Mishnah gave this example of parah aduma, that's something that's shkita shein ruya. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. It really is shkita ruya. Then the Mishnah gave an example of egla rufa, that egla rufa is shkita shein ruya. Frak the Gemara, egla rufa lav shkita ruya. Is egla rufa really not considered a shkita ruya? Vatanan, we have Mishnah, nimtza haho regat shalo tearefa egla. Let's say you find the dead body, right? Egla rufa is when you have a situation where you find a dead body between two cities. You're not sure who killed the person, and the basement of the city that's closest has to go do the entire egla rufa procedure. What if before you do the egla rufa procedure, after you had already designated an animal for egla rufa, you find who the murderer is? So then the animal goes and it gets to graze and develop a mum or whatever. It's not it's not no longer usable as egla rufa, but you're going to be able to eat it. So the bottom line is, how can you say that shchita of egla rufa is shchita shein ruuya? After all, sometimes the egla rufa is ruuya if you don't actually go through with the procedure, even after you've already designated it. So Rabbi Shimon Mishum Rabbi Yane, egla rufa in a mishnah. He said, okay, so take out egla rufa from there. Egla rufa is in the mishnah. Egla rufa doesn't belong in the mishnah. It's interesting. The Rambam paskins that egla rufa is asr bana, and it's nikbar b'makom arifasa. You bury it right where you do the arifa, right where you chop it in the back of the head. And when it's teirid, from the moment it's teirid the nachal, from the moment it goes down to the nachal, it's already asr b'ana, even though the arifa didn't happen yet. And then the Rambam says that if it dies or it's shechted after it went down to the nachal, it's asr b'ana, and it would need to be buried. Meaning, once you bring it down to the nachal, it becomes asr b'ana. There's nothing you could do to make it kosher again. And then the Rambam says, nimtza horigat shlo te'arif ha'egla, teitze v'tir be'eder. That if before the arifa, sounds like even after you remember the nachleisan, you find the horeg, you find the murderer, okay, then teitzivitir beida, then you don't have to bury it, you don't have to, it doesn't remain asubana. So Kesem Mishnah quotes from the Tshuva Sarashba that the Rambam associates himself minei ubei, because it's mavur in our Gemara that if the yeridah lenachleisan is what asers it, so it can't be that it becomes mutter if you find the horeg. And if it becomes mutter when you find the horeg, so the din is that the arifa is what makes it aser, not the yerida l'nachal eisan. So how can the Rambam paskin that the yerida l'nachal eisan makes it aser, and still say that if you find the horeg, teitziv yitir beider, that the iser goes away? So the Rashba writes in the Tshuva, there's no way to explain this Rambam. This Rambam is just a very shver Rambam. So Kesem Mishnah says, let me try. Kesem Mishnah says that the svar of the Rambam is that you makdish the egla al das that you won't find the horeg, al das that you won't find the murderer. But if you do find the horeg, so it's hispar adavr l'mafreya, it's huvar adavr l'mafreya, that the hektish was betaus, that the hektish, the original being makdish of this animal, was all betaus, and therefore the hektish falls away. So even though the Gemara is going to raise similar issues and not come up with this chap, but the Rama must understand that the Gemara just had a different answer. Let's see the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yani Hachi, does Rabbi Yani really say that Egla Rufa has to be taken out of the Mishnah because it is a Shechita Ru'uya? V'ha Amar Rabbi Yani, Gvul Shamati Ba V'Shachachti, I once heard a specific boundary of when it becomes Aser, but I had forgotten what it was, that when exactly the Egla Rufa takes on the Yisra'na, V'Nasfin Chaviraya Lomar, Yiridas L'Nachal Esa Nosarta. But then other Chavirim told me that the Gvul was, the Bnei Yeshiva told me, that it's when it goes down to the Nachal Esan, that's when it becomes Aser. But ve'im isa, if that's the case, so we have a simple answer. Meaning, what was the kasha on the Mishnah? How can you say agla rufa is shechita shein ruya? After all, it's going to be ra'oi if you find the horeg. Well, why don't we have a simple answer? Lishni kan kodem yirida, kan nachi yirida. Say that if you find the horeg before yirida l'nachal eisan, then it would be a shechita ruya. But maybe our Mishnah is talking about where you shecht it after it was Yorid L'Nachal Eisan. At that point, it's already Yasser Ba'anah, so at that point, it's going to be a Shechita She'en Ru'uya. Because again, the Gemara is assuming clearly, this was the problem with the Ram. I should have read this Gemara first. This was the problem with the Ram. The Gemara assumes very clearly that if it takes on the Isser Hanah from the time that it's Yorid L'Nachal Eisan, so then it's Vaiter never going to be a Shechita Ru'uya. There's no way that it's ever going to become Mutter. Even if you find the Horeg, it's not going to become Mutter. It already took on the Isser. So why don't we just say that's what the Mishnah was talking about when we talk about a shechita she'ein ruya by the egla? So I'm Rav Pinchas, Brei de Rav Ami, Anan Mishmei de Rav Shimon Lakish Masinila, Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. In a Chinami, Rabbi Yanai would not say Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. We have to say that Rabbi Yochanan, who was it? Rabbi Yochanan, so is the one that said, Rabbi Yanai is one that said Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. So he said, no, well, we change it. It wasn't Rabbi Yanai who said Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. It was Reish Lakish who said Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. So Reish Lakish is one that must hold, therefore, that you read the Lenach Leisan doesn't make it Asar Ba'anah. The only thing that makes it Asar Ba'anah is when you actually do the Arifa. And prior to doing the Arifa, at any point, if you find the Horeg, the Egla becomes Mutter. And therefore, it's a Shechita Ru'uya. Am Rav Ashki, Avinu Be'Rav Papi, Kashalanu. But wait a second, when we were by Rav Papi, we were bothered by this also. Mi Yom Rav Shimon Lakish Hachi? Does Reish Lakish really hold that? That it only becomes Asr at the time of the Arifa, and therefore it's a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya, and therefore any Shechita that you do of it is going to be a Shechita Ru'uya? Va'it mar Tzipori Mitzora Me'em Asayne Asarin. We had a discussion, when are Tzipori Mitzora, at what point do Tzipori Mitzora become Asr? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishas Shechita. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Mishas Lekicha. Rabbi Yochanan says only when you shech them. Reish Lakish says from the time of Lakicha, when you designate them. Varmin, in my time to Rav Shimon Lakish, where does Rav Shimon Lakish get the idea that they already become Asr from the time of Lakicha? Gomer, Kicha, Kicha, Me'egla Rufa. He learns it from Egla Rufa. So how can you tell me that Rav Shimon Lakish holds Egla Rufa only becomes Asr at the Arifa itself? No, already at the Lakicha becomes Asr. So therefore, Egla Rufa should not be a Shechita Ru'ya. It belongs in the Mishnah. It's a Shechita She'ein Ru'ya. So why do you tell me that Reish Lakish is the one that says Egla Rufa ain't a Mishnah? That Egla Rufa doesn't belong in the Mishnah? Ela Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. It's not Rabbi Yanai, it's not Reish Lakish. It's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan that Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. It's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that the Egla Rufa only becomes Asr Mishas Arifa, and prior to that, any finding of the murderer would automatically make the Egla Rufa Mutter, and therefore it's a Shechita Ru'uya. That's the Shita that holds that it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. But if you hold the Maskan of the Gemara seems to be that if you hold that the Egla Rufa becomes Asr at any point prior to the Arifa, Egla Rufa does belong in our Mishnah because it's a Shechita She'en Ru'uya as long as you do the Shechita after the Isser was already Chal. That was the problem with the Rambam, that the Rambam held that it becomes Asr prior, and yet the Rambam still says, Nimtza Horeg, you find the Horeg at any time, and Teitze V'tira Be'eder. And it's not the Isser is not going to be there anymore. So that's the Shvarkat in the Rambam. Now, the Tosos asks, B'shem, one of the Balei Tosos, Rav Moshe Mibundish, Tosos asks, why doesn't the Gemara just answer that which it says in the Mishnah, Shochet, when it says that if you shecht the Egla Rufa Hashochet, and it gives the example of Vinimsa Trefa, Lafal Zara, Shochet Parashatos, Shor Niskal, Egla Rufa, all of these examples. So why don't you just say that doesn't really mean Shochet? It means that you do the Arifa of the Egla Rufa, and then you'd understand why that's a Shechita She'en Ru'uya, because at that point everyone agrees it can't then become Mutter. Finding the Horeg at that point does not make the Egla Rufa Mutter. Why don't we just say Shechita means the Arifa, the Egla? So you'll say, well, that's far-fetched. Arifa? How do you call Arifa a Shechita? Not so far-fetched. We have it elsewhere in Shas. The Gemara Maseches Zvachim, Daf Ayin and Beis, tells us that Arifa is considered Shechita. It's considered to be like a Shechita regarding the idea of Tumas Nevela. That if you shecht an animal, the animal is obviously not Tami Tumas Nevela. If you you shoot an animal in the head, the animal is Tami Tumas Nevela. What if you do an Arifa? It's not a proper Shechita. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's close enough to a Shechita that when you do a Shechita, when you do the Arifa, the Arufa, that counts like a shechita in that the carcass will not be metami tumas nevela. You find also by the Seir Mishtaleach, where the Gemara says something very similar. The Gemara in Yumad of Samach Dalet Amud Alef tells us by the Seir Mishtaleach in Yom Kippurim, Shedechiyas Lutzuk is considered shechita, that when you push it off the cliff, that's considered its shechita. Legabe the Yisr of Shechita, of Osav Espino, even in regard to our issue, that you would not be allowed to shech the parent or child of the Seir Mishtaleach. So if Arifa is considered a shechita in regards to that halacha, why don't we say that you have the same issue over here? That Arifa should be that our Mishnah, when our Mishnah says that when you shecht the negla Arufa, it's subject to the machlokas of Shimon and the Rabban of shechita she'ena ru'uya. Why don't you say we're talking about the Arifa? We're not talking about a shechita. So Rabbeinu Tam is mitarets, because then the Mishnah would not have written the lashon of shechita. The Mishnah would have written the lashon of Arifa. The Mishnah would have said Arifa. Tosa says that teretz is dachuk, because it could be the Tana mentions shechita agav all the other things that it says in the Mishnah, which are actually must be shechita. So that's it's a good kasha. It's a strong kasha. Tosa says, how do we know that the Mishnah maybe it does belong in the Mishnah, and maybe the Mishnah is talking about Arifa, the Mishnah is not talking about shechita per se. Okay, next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shnayim shalachu paru ubna. If two different people buy two different animals, one bought the para, the other one bought the ben of that para. So which one gets to shech today? They both want to shech today. But the halach is you can't shech tos of espino, even if two different people can't shech tos of espino. So is a shalakach rishon, yishchat rishon, very equitable. The one who bought it first, so he's the one that has the chus kedima. V'im kadam hasheni, zacha. But if the second guy shechts first, he's zocha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Lini and Dinatan. First of all, when we say that he gets a shecht first, this is a dinam abanus issue. That when he purchased the animal, the first one to purchase the animal purchased the right to shecht it that day. Tana im kadam hasheni arezes zoriz viniskar, and we were taught not just im kadam hasheni zacha, but with Sefta adds that if you shecht if the second one decides to shecht first, he's zoriz viniskar. What does that mean? Zoriz the law of the sura. He's zoriz in that we don't consider it that he did an iser. And niskar to ka'achal bisra, that he's allowed to eat the meat. The meat does not become aser. In that way, he's zariz and niskar. So the Rishonim quote from a Tosefta that says that the reason for our Mishnah is because that the first guy is allowed, has the rights to shecht it, is because a stam lokeach behema wants to shecht the behema. Typically, when you buy a behema, the Tosefta says your intention is to shecht, and therefore, when the guy sells you behema, he's selling you the right to shecht it even today, that you should be able to shecht it first. And therefore, when he then sells it to a second guy, he no longer has the right, he no longer owns the right to shecht the second animal, so he's not able to sell the right to shecht the second animal that day. Once a person, let's say he would have kept the second animal, I sell an animal, so the way that Tosefta understands it, when I'm selling the animal, I'm selling you the right to shecht it that day, and I'm holding on to the animal's child. I'm not allowed to shecht the animal's child that day. I have to wait for you. You have the right to shecht it first. That's what I sold to you. So if I myself don't have the right to shecht the second animal, I can't sell that right to a second person. I no longer have that right. I've already sold the right. So the Rashba asks, wait a second, is this really true that any time a person sells an animal, the assumption is always that the person wants it for the purpose of shechita? There's an afna gemara b'basid of tzadi beis, imperik ha-mochar ha-saperos, that rov b'nei adam are kona a para for charisha and not for shechita. Ruba l'radya, most people want it for charisha, they do not want it for shechita. So the guy who buys a para mistami is kona l'shem charisha, and therefore the mocher is not selling him the right to shecht it first. So what's the Tosefta talking about? So the Rashba quotes B'Shem Rabbi Natam that the Gemara over there is talking about buying a shor. Stam shor is the charisha. The pasuk says, V'rav tuos b'koch shor. And over here, we're talking about where you're kona a para. Paros are not omdos l'charisha, they're omdos l'achila. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam's territory, although the Rashba doesn't love it, he sort of leaves it as a tzorachin. And the Rashba questions further. We're going to have a mission later on, where that a person sells an animal, b'kol hashana, he does not have to say that ima macharti, right? He doesn't have to let somebody know that I sold the mother of this animal. So according to this, that every time you sell an animal, you're selling the right, and the probability is that the person wants to shecht it today. So then you should always have to say ima macharti lishchot. I sold the mother, bita macharti lishchot. I sold the daughter, whatever it is. Yet the Mishnah is going to say we're going to have on daf pei gimel. We're going to have tomorrow's daf. The Mishnah is going to say that you only have to say this barba. The four different times of the year when people are very busy shechting and they very much need meat, and it's very likely that they're going to shecht it right away. Sounds like it's only during those four times of the year where you have to assume the guy is buying it, wants to shecht it today. But the rest of the year, you don't have to assume that. So how could the Tosefta explain that pshat in our Mishnah is that the natural assumption is whenever I sell an animal, the guy's going to shecht it today? So the Rashi was mitarets that by MS, there's no chilek between whether you're mocher a paro or you're mocher a shor. Not like Rabbeinu Tam. The das of the mocher is to do whatever that I'm selling the lokeach the rights to do whatever in the world he wants to do with it. He wants to be choresh, gazon tehet. He wants to shecht it tomorrow, shecht it tomorrow. He wants to shecht today, shecht it today. I'm not keeping any of the rights for myself. You have the absolute rights in the animal that I'm selling you. So you didn't make it tonight, that almanas that you don't shecht it today. So it's considered as if he told him, beferish, you're allowed to shecht it today. Now, mistam, is he going to do it? I don't know. Maybe only during those dalet prakim b'shana, it's likely that he's actually going to shecht it today. Maybe typically he's not even going to shecht it at all. He's going to use it for charisha. But he has the right to do it. There's a big difference between the chances are that he'll do it and the fact that he has a right to do it. Chances are he won't do it. He's not going to shecht it today. But he has the right to do it. And therefore, if two people were to come to a din Torah and say, look, I bought the animal today, I bought the animal today, which one of us gets to shecht it today? We happen to both want to shecht it. The Bezin will say, first guy to buy it bought the rights to shecht it. It doesn't have to be that it's mistama that he's going to shecht it. That's the way the Rashba understands. Now, just one more har over here. Zariz and Niskar. We said that if the second guy shechts first, he's Zariz v'Niskar. He didn't violate an Isser. And Niskar, because he can eat the meat. So if you remember, we discussed at the beginning of the Perek, the Rush quotes from the Bahag that if you shecht a Osav Espino, B'yom Echad, you violate the Isser of Osav Espino, the Rush quotes from the Bahag that you're not allowed to eat the meat of the second animal. That it's not just a Maisa Isser that you did, that the meat of the second animal becomes Aser. Problem with that Bahag is, it doesn't say that anywhere in a Mishnah or a Gemara. It doesn't exist. There's no such concept in Shas, that you're not allowed to shecht, that you're not allowed to eat the meat after you violated Osav Espino. So that's what some of the Rishonim want to suggest, that the Makar of the Bahag is right over here. That what does it say? That if the second guy shechts first, don't worry, he'll be able to eat the meat. Sounds like if he shechted second, there'd be a knas chachamim that he would not be allowed to eat the meat. That's the diuk that he wants to make. The Ran writes that it's a knas, it's kansos chachamim, and just like we find, the Ran says, just like a knas on Maisa Shabbos. Just like we find that in violation of Shabbos, there's a knas for Maisa Shabbos, so that you're not allowed to get hana from your malacha, you do a Shabbos, same over here. The Rambam doesn't hold like this bag. The Rambam paskens beferish that if you violate the Isser, it's the basar is mutter ba'achila, that you're allowed to eat the meat. Okay. Says the new Mishnah, next Mishnah. Shachat para v'achach shnei baneha. Let's say you shecht the para, and then you shecht two of that para's offspring, sofek shmonim, you get 80 malkios. Because each time you shecht a different one of the children of that para, you're violating Osav Espino. Meaning, the Isser of Osav Espino is not an Isser of a combination Isser, it's the Isser of shechting the second one. Whichever you shecht, meaning when you've shechted the mother, the Isser is to shecht the child. So if you shecht the child, you did the Isser twice, you did two Isurim. So shechet shnei b'nei v'achach shechta, let's say you shecht the two offspring, so there's no Isser to shecht siblings, right? So you shecht the two offspring, and then you shef the mother. So Sofik is Rabban, then you're only going to get one Malkus. You're not going to get two Malkios because it's only one Isser. You only violated one Isser by shefting the mother. Because again, as we said, the second animal is the Isser. It's not the combination. It's the second animal. Once you shef the mother, it activates an Isser on the child. Once you shef the child, it activates an Isser on the mother. But the Isser is not on the first one that you shefted. The Isser is solely on the second one that you shefted. Shachta ve'ezbita ve'ezbasbita. What if you shecht three generations? So sofik shmonim. You're going to get 80 malchios. Because let's say you shecht the mother, now that the grandmother, you shecht the grandmother, now that activates an iser on the mother, on the middle generation. Now you shecht the middle generation, you violate that iser. That activates an iser on the next generation. Then when you shecht that, you violate another iser. So that's how you get 80 malchios. Shachta ve'ezbasbita. But what if you shecht the bubby, and then you shech the grandchild, the third generation? So you shech generation one and generation three. Shouldn't talk like the bubby by animals. There's no such thing. It's not a Disney movie. So, but anyway, you shech the first generation and you shech the third generation, and then you go v'achak shachad bita. Then you shech the middle generation. So sofik es harbayim. So then you're going to get 40 malchios, not 80. All one iser. Sumchus Omer, Mishum Rameir, Sofik Shmonin. Sumchus says the Shem Rameir that you get 80 Malkios. Why? So think about the Svara. When I shech the first generation, it activates an Isser on the second generation. When I shech the third generation, it activates another Isser on the second generation. Mela, I shech the second generation, I violated two Isurim. Right? It's not it's not the same Isser, it's a separate Isser. Now, Rashi and Tosos and many other Rishonim understand that Sumchus would argue on the Chachamim, not only in this last case of the Mishnah, but even in the middle case of the Mishnah, where you shech Shnei Baneha V'achach Shachad Osa. Sumchus would say, you shech one of the offspring, it activates an Isser on the mother. You shech another one of the offspring, it activates it's another Isra on the mother. Right? Sumchus would agree, would argue in that case as well, that the Chacham would say you only get 40 Malkios. Sumchus would say in that case as well, that you get 80 Malkios. And the Rishonim say that it's Mufurish that way in its Hosefta. So the Rishonim write that even if you say the reason of Sumchus that you get 80 Malkios is because of Gufim Muchlakim, is that it's separate, the Isurim Kham are based on separate Gufim, on separate bodies, still you chayiv 80 Malkios in case 2 of the Mishnah, because when you shech that mother, it's a double Aveira, because you have the Isur of each of the Banim combining with the mother. However, the Ran writes that in the second case of the Mishnah, even Sumchus is moded to the Chachamim, that you only get 40 Malkios, that you don't get any Malkios. The reason Sumchus only argues in the Seifa is we only mention Sumchus' Shita in the Seifa is because Sumchus only argues in the Seifa. Sumchus does not argue in the case of the Shnei Baneha according to the Ran. And the Ran says, what's the difference? What's the difference between the case of shechting generation 1, generation 3, and then generation 2 versus shechting Shnei Baneha and then shechting the mother? So he says the chiluk is that in the last case of the Mishnah, where you shech generation 1, generation 3, and then generation 2, where you get 80 Malkios, even though it's one Maisa, it's because he says the mother that was shechted is Mischaiv Mishamosav Espino, and it's Chaiv Mishamosav Espino because of the Bita that was shechted, because of the daughter that was shechted. So it's Shnei Shemos, it's two separate Shemos of Isser. One is the Shem Isser Mitzad, the mother, one is Shem Isser Mitzad, the daughter. But if there are two offspring that you shechted both of them, it's the same Shem Isser. It's Shem Echad. It's not two separate Shemos of Isser. You're not allowed to shecht the mother of an offspring that you shechted that day. But two offspring, same Shem Isser, same thing. So you wouldn't be chayv separately, Mishum Ma'osav Espino. So that's the reason that even Sumchus would be Moda in the middle case that you'd only get 40 Malkios according to the Ran. Again, that's a machlokas between the Ran versus Rashi and Tosfos. That's the Machlokas Rishonim. Okay, says the Gemara. Amai, Osav es b'no amrachmanav v'lo b'nova osav. Wait a second. Why is it that if you shech the offspring and then you shech the mother, you're going to be chayiv? After all, the pasuk says osav es b'no. It doesn't say b'nova osav. It should only work in one direction. That if you shech the mother, then the offspring you're chayiv. Why is it that if you shech the offspring and then the mother, you're also chayiv? So lo sal kadai tach. No, don't read the pasuk that way. D'tanya, because we learned in a brisa to read it as follows. Osav es b'no in lo osav es b'no. I only know from the pasuk that you shach the mother and then the offspring you're chayiv. How do I know if you shach the offspring and then the mother that you're chayiv? When it says in the plural lo sishchetu, so that tells me that there's a double iser. Hakeitzad echad hashochet es hapara ve'echad hashochet es ima ve'echad hashochet es bina shnayim achronim chayavin. That if you shech the para, the mother of the para, the ben of the para, the last two are going to be chayiv, meaning that there's two separate isurim. So frekta gemara haimi ba'ilei l'gufei. No, we already need that pasuk. We already need the plural of Sishchetu to teach me a different din. Im kain lo sich, mean to teach me legufei, just to teach me that that you can't shecht osov es b'no, the two animals on the same day. How can you say that it's there for a drasha? Pashup shan pasuk needs to say plural. It's not like a singular would have worked. You're talking about osov es b'no. So im kain lichtov lo sishchot. If that were true, for Pashup shan pasuk could have just said lo sishchot. My lo sishchetu. Why does it have to say plural, which sounds like both people are violating an iser? Meaning, enochinami, it's plural, there are plural shchitos going on, but there aren't plural los ishchitos, there aren't plural isurim going on when you shech tosav es b'no. Let's say I shech tosav, I shech the mother, then I shech b'no. How many asur shchitos did I do? I only did one asur shchita. So los ishchitos sounds like the lav is on two shchitas. Where do you have a lav on two shchitas? So it must be that if you shech three generations in whichever direction you shech them, that's going to be included in the iser. So frakta gemara v'akati mi b'ilei. No, but we still need the plural. The ikas rachmana lo sishchot have min echad in trei lo. I would have thought, had it said lo sishchot, that it's only an iser on one person. Forget about the animals. How many animals? How many maisa shchitas there are? How many people do shchita? I would have thought that, you know, when I'm chayv for shechting also vesp, no, if I personally do both shchitas, but if I do one the shchita of the mother and someone else owns the offspring, someone else does the shchita of the offspring, I would think that there's no chiv, that there's no problem. So kas rachmana lo sishchot. That's what I need those sishkatu to teach. That even if they're not owned by the same person and there are different people doing the shkita, that the iser is still going to be an active iser. So imkein lichtov lo yishkatu. My lo sishkatu shema minatarti. So the fact that it doesn't say lo yishkatu, it says lo sishkatu. So therefore we learn both ideas, both mitzad the shochet and mitzad the nishchat, that mitzad the animal itself, in either direction, it's going to be an iser of osav es b'no. Fine. Shechtav es bas pita. The Mishnah then went on to say, if you shecht an animal and first generation, and then you go and you shecht third generation, so the Mishnah said that that in that case, you shecht the first generation, you shecht the third generation, and then you shecht the second generation, so then you're going to get 80 malkios, right? So says the Gemara. Amalei Abayi L'Rav Yosef. My time with the Sumchus. What was the reason for Sumchus? Sumchus in our Mishnah said B'Shem Rav Meir that you sofik shmonim. Again, the case was you shechted generation one, generation three, then generation two. So the Chum said it's only 40 malkios. You only shechted one animal be'isser. But Sumchus says no, you can get 80 malkios. So my time with the Sumchus. So Kesavar Sumchus. Sumchus holds. Achol shnei zeisei chaylev behelem echad chayiv shtei chatoos. Let's say you get asra. Someone tells you don't eat chaylev, and if you do, you're going to be chayiv malchus. So what do? You're going to be chayiv whatever. Let's talk about it. It's b'shogig over here. So it's behelem echad. No one gives you asra. Now we're talking about a case. You see chaylev on a plate. You think it's shuman. You think it's kosher fat, and you decide to eat some of it. But you eat two kazesim of it. And you didn't realize, the whole time you didn't realize that it was chaylev. It's not like you ate a kazayis and then realized, oh no, I just ate chaylev, this is chaylev. And then you forgot again and ate another kazayis. No, it was behelem echad. The whole time you didn't realize, you ate two kazayisim of chaylev. So you chayiv shtei chataos. You still chayiv two separate karbanos. So that's what Sumchus must hold. obedit, meaning even though it was all one, it seems like it was one action, but since it was two separate maasei iser, you're going to be chayv two chataos. Obedin hu delashmin be'alma. And really, Simchus could have told me this din anywhere. And the reason why Dafka wants to tell it to me over here is Dafka to tell me just how strong the Rabbanan are in their shita that you're only chayiv once. The afagav de gufin muchlakin, even though it comes as a result of separate gufin, it comes as a result of separate bodies, of separate animals, still patri Rabbanan. Meaning, even though there's one Isra that was activated by the first generation animal, and another Isra activated by the third generation animal, still the Rabbanan are going to say, since it was only one Maisa Isra on the second generation animal, you're going to be patri. Is that the logic of Simchus? That Simchus is all about that idea of Achal Shnei Zei Seichel Ve'alem Echad? Oh, Dilmer, maybe no. Maybe Kusavar Simchus, Achal Shnei Zei Seichel Ve'alem Echad Einu Chayev Ela Achas. Maybe Simchus really holds, in a typical case where you eat a plate full of Chaylev and not realizing that it's Chaylev, you're only going to be Chayev one carbon. V'hach Einu Taima Hol V'gufin Muchlakin. But over here it's worse. Over here you chayiv two malkios because it's gufin mechlakin. It comes from two separate gufin. It comes from the first generation. One iser comes from the first generation animal. The other iser comes from the third generation animal. So maybe it's worse. How exactly we define gufin mechlakin is not so pashut. Well, maybe we'll have a chance to discuss in a second. So anyway, amalei in kasavar achal shnei zeisei chelav behelam echad chayiv shtei chatos. That he holds that if you eat shnei zeisei chelav behelam echad, you chayiv two separate karbanos. Mimai, how do I know that? Miditnan, azareh, klayim, klayim, loka. That if you plant klayim, klayim, you get malchus. So my loka, what do you mean you get malchus? Ilei meloka achas, he's telling me you get one malchus. Pshita, of course, he did an isser. Why wouldn't you get malchus? Va'od, my klayim, klayim. And also, why would you say klayim, klayim? Just tell me if I plant klayim, I get malchus. El pshita beis malchus. So we must be talking about a situation where you planted klayim and you chayv two malchios. So my skin, what's the case? If I plant, do two separate acts of planting klayim, and each time I got a separate asra'a, tanina, we already learned. If a nazir is drinking wine all day long, he's only chayv once for all the wine that he drinks the whole day. But amrlo, al tishtev u'shosa. They tell him, don't drink that cup of wine, and he drinks it. Don't drink that cup of wine, and he drinks it. Each time they give him a separate asra'a, chayv al kol achas v'achas. Then he's chayv separately for each of them. So it must be that the situation is that it's bebasa achas and basra achas. Meaning, what do we say? What's the case where he's going to get where he's going to be chayiv two malkios? So if it's b'zeh achazem b'shtei asros, so then it's obvious that he's going to get two malkios. So it must be that we're talking about bebasa achas basra achas. So money, whose opinion are we going like that? Bebasa achas basra achas, and he's going to get two malkios. If we're assuming like the Rabbanan who disagree with the Simchus, the Rabbanan think you only get one onesh even when it's gufin mechlakin. Of course over here you're only going to get one onesh. So it can't be the Rabbanan elav Simchusi. So you see that Simchus holds that that you're going to get two separate malkios, even though it's one helev, even though it's one long act of iser. So it says more love the olam Rabbanan. Now maybe we're really going like the Rabbanan. And it's telling us a different din, that there are two different types of klayim. You did two separate isurim. You planted one type of klayim and then another type of klayim. Rabbi Yoshia holds you only violate klayim if you planted all three different minim together. If you shak chita v'chartzon and sa'ar v'chartzon, that's two separate isurim of klayim. Maybe we're even going like the Rabbanan. Tashmas will bring another raya. What about the following case? Achol mizek kezayis umizek kezayis. Let's say you have a gira nasha and the two gira nashas of an animal, and you eat a kezayis from each one. Now the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is that only one of them is actually aser. We just don't know which one of them is aser. Only one of the gidin is aser. So you to eat from both sides of the animal, kezayis from each one. Sofik shmonim. So the Tanakama says you get 80 malkios. Tanakama holds that they're both aser. That each one is aser. Rabbi Yehuda Amarena sofik elamem. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You only get 40 malkios. So hey chidami, what's the case? If you eat them one after the other, and you got two separate asra'os, so why would Rabbi Yehuda hold that you get anything? You should get zero malchios. You know why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds only one of them is asr, and we don't know which one. So I give you asra on the first one, and you eat it. I give you asra on the second one, you eat it. Both of those asra'os are invalid asra'os. Because at the time that I gave you asra, I don't know that necessarily that you're chayav for eating what you're about to eat. It's asra safek. V'shamim le Rabbi Yehuda d'amar asra safek l'shma asra. And Rabbi Yehuda holds asra safek is not called asra. D'tanya, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda holds that? He kazev v'chazvi kazev. Let's say you're not sure who your father is. Your mother was married to two men in very close proximity to each other. You could have been from either one of them. So you hit one of them and then you hit the other guy. You curse one, then you curse the other. Oshika shem basacha. So you hit them both at the same time. Oshkil shem basacha. You curse them both at the same time. Chayev. Rabbi Yudomer bebasachas chayev zechas a pater. Rabbi says only if you hit them both at the same time you chayev. But one after the other you can be pater because the hasra you get for one is by definition hasra safek. So you see the Rabbi Yudol is hasra safek. So elapshita bebasachas ubasrachas. So it must be that our situation of the gidanasha is bebasachas with a single hasra. So who's the Tanakama that holds you get two malchus that you chayiv twice if it's b'basachas and b'asrachas? Ilim Rabban the Pligal in some chazash from Asim the Gufim Mechlakim Patri Rabban Hochel Okolshkein. The Rabban hold even with Gufim Mechlakim you're only chayiv once. Kalvachomer with a single animal you're only going to be chayiv once. So who's the one that says you chayiv twice? Elav sumchusi. So you see that it's sumchus. So that's the sheet of sumchus that you're going to be chayiv twice. So it says Marlo liolam b'zeh chazev Rabbanan. No, maybe we're talking about b'zeh chazev. Maybe we're assuming like the other opinion of what Rabbi Yehuda holds, that Rabbi Yehuda in fact holds that Asra Safek is Shema Asra. We're out of time, but the Gemara then quotes a brisa that verifies that there is a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Asra Safek actually counts as Asra.